we retraced all the steps from the movie. We said, hey, do you remember this part in the movie? Well, guess what? This is the real door. This is the real house now.
Oh, that's perfect.
This is the real staircase. This
it's
is the real
stairway.
This
yeah.
is the real
yeah.
slow pull-in to the door where all that screen was. This is the real room. Okay, this is the hospital where he went for that quote-unquote MRI. Of course, they didn't have MRIs back then. But this is where he went. This is where he was put. This is where he was examined. This is where he was baptized. So, and then it was just an amazing thing. And also I wanted to add, if I may, what makes this different than, of course, the Timothy Dalton version, which I enjoyed and laughed a little bit about that boy. He was a pretty funny actor, the boy in The Possessed, I think it was called, the Showtime one there.
Yeah.
I love Timothy Dalton, though. But anyway, was that this story isn't just about the exorcism case and the boy, which, or the girl, you know, in the Reagan version, the William Blatty, Friedkin's version. It's about the real hero. The real hero is Father Bowden. That's who Max von Sydow played.
Mm-hmm.
And we do his story. His story, he was a chaplain in World War II, and he went to the South Pacific. And the horrors that he saw with the Japanese war, you can imagine the beheadings, the terrible tortures. All his boys that he raised as a father in Catholic, in the churches, and he was a religion teacher, he went to war. He insisted he would go with them to take care of his boys. Every one of them died.
Oh.
Now,
when he came back, the war was really on when the last boy was possessed by the devil.
He took a personal interest in that case, and he saw what he could not save. This is a powerful story from Bowden's point of view.
That's now, a great idea.
And the thing is, we were and again, I don't want to keep saying it, but I do need to. Greg Myers, if you're listening, we love you and miss you. St. Louis, we love you. Sandy Oates, there's Tom, and there's Jeremiah. There's a lot of wonderful people, Matt. A lot of people I could go on and name. But the thing about Keith, the thing is, this story, Bowden was a hero. We got to meet the great niece of William Bowden, who grew up as a little girl around the exorcism case. He used to come over and cook hamburgers on the barbecue there, roll his sleeves up, and talk about what he was doing. Like it was, you know, nonchalant. This was a really break for us to be able, for her to sit down and tell us and say, oh, Uncle Bill would have loved Max von Sydow playing him.
That's great. That is.
So that was a high.
Tell me about the diary. You mentioned it a couple times.
Well, the diary, there's six copies of the diary, okay? And one of them's the original's locked in the Vatican. We actually asked the demonologist of the Vatican if he would talk about it, and he granted it to. He's 85 years old. He's a great gentleman, and he tells us a lot of fascinating things, including a lot of questions that he answers no comment to, which is very fascinating, too. But we asked him about it. And we take the whole diary and we go through it. We basically start our story in St. Louis. You know, that's where we start our story, even though it started in Maryland with the Ouija board and all that. But we start with that. And then we brought in a psychiatrist. He's a forensic guy. He actually does serial killer.
Profiling.
He actually says, hey, you know, this chap's insane. So, you know, you can't put him in jail, that kind of thing. So he does it through, like, MRIs and stuff. And he shows you, you know, what a serial killer's brain looks like. So he had gotten a copy of the real diary because he wanted to research serial killers and the mind of the devil. So we thought this would be also another fascination approach, is if we had a psychiatrist put the devil on the couch and say, okay, so why do you want to kill people? Why do you want to be so perverted? What, are you really that twisted? And so we kind of do a match of the devil with the man. And as it goes through the diary, and of course the diary is, the real diary is 26 pages, and we have it unedited, and we go through pretty much page by page, and we go through the whole steps of what happened, And, of course, a lot of it we can't put in because it is very, what's the word, very pornographic, very foul. Very, you got to step back in 1949. The internet wasn't there. It's very easy to type in the word donkey and come with all kinds of crazy stuff today.
Sure.
Back then, where did this guy, this kid, get all this foul thoughts from?
Yeah, there's no
very
way.
Foul.
And television.
Very foul.
And there's no
very
way you
foul.
Would have picked it. Yeah, you wouldn't have picked it off of television.
And
there's
not
no way
TV.
In those days.
No. Well, that's interesting, too, because we also do a profile, which I think you'd appreciate, of what was on television in 1949.
Yeah. I mean, it was milquetoast. Everything was entertainment and milquetoast. There was nothing. It was wholesome.
Yeah, it was. It was I think, there's only little stag films that were floating around, but never this foulness that this boy had written. And then, of course, the priest had to retype it. You figure the priest must be, like, just sweating, retyping all this foul stuff this boy wanted to do to the priest, including that he would kill anybody if he was molested again.
And I think what's good about the diary we should point out, George, is like in a court case, when an exorcism is granted by, the church, the, diocese and all that stuff, it is required as a rule that every detail is logged and taken through every time they go in and do the exorcism. It's just like in a court trial. They have to write a transcription of it. And that is really wonderful when you kind of look at it as that way. Now, this is authentic transcription. This is authentic as you get. There was, and I quote, 14 witnesses that witnessed this. All their names are present. No one's, like, blurred out. This was real.
It must have been frightening just to be able to see some of the passages.
It was. Well, it is. And you know, what did Brett Blatty say? William Bowdern, if you're not familiar, wrote William Blatty a letter saying, I tell you one thing. Everything you read in this was true.
Yeah. Oh, that's chilling. How did you two know there was even a diary?
Through research and a lot of inside people, and also there was a lot of very dedicated people that work with us that really obviously love what we do, and they say, this has been done. As you know, there's been a lot of grippers on television that only touch it, but they don't read. They cut a lot of it out. They don't really tell you. Our show does the real cool stuff. Our stuff, we want to find the furniture. We want to know what happened to the furniture in the room. We want to know where the boy is today. We want to know, well, did the family know the boy was possessed? He had a son. We want to know all this stuff. We want to know, did the aunt really, play with Ouija boards? We really want to know all this stuff. Is the Ouija board really, capable of opening up a door? And we go through all this. Not and actually right to the room where it has scratches on the floor where the bed was supposed to had risen up and the boy was supposed to walk across the wall and all that stuff. The real
crack in the wall where he was kept. It's no matter how many times they keep sealing that crack, no matter what they do, it keeps coming back right where the bed was.